Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I'm Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. And, of course, I am broadcasting live today with just a little touch of Southern flavor from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. You know, I want to welcome all of my listeners from all over the world, from Israel, the U.K., Tokyo, and, of course, my faithful listeners in the U.S. And as I always say, I believe that you, if you are listening to this show today, that the Spirit of God has attracted you here, and today you will find encouragement, hope, and solutions for your life. Well, how are you doing today? I am doing absolutely wonderful. It is indeed a beautiful day here in Atlanta, and I'm doing really extremely well. It's springtime here, and the trees are so beautiful. They are pink and white. And, you know, as I was driving home, I realized that I was really beholding the beauty and the magnificence and the splendor of God just looking at nature. And it was just so great, and it really got me just in the right spirit to share with you tonight. Well, are you ready for a miracle? Today, my very special guest is Dr. Sue Mortar, and we're going to be talking about miracles, quantum science, and ways to begin to change from the inside out. You know, I always say it's an inside job. So let's take a quick commercial break, and I will be right back. And we're going to be talking with Dr. Sue Mortar.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com.
Hello, this is Constance Arnold, your success coach. Do you feel stuck? Are you ready for change in the areas of business, relationships, or career? Then contact me today for your complimentary coaching session. We will partner together to develop individualized strategies and projects that will move you towards the life of your dreams. So email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com or visit my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and discover and take advantage of the diverse coaching packages that I have designed just with you in mind.
Here's the most incredible singles cruise ever. That's right. Law of Attraction Radio Network with SpiritualSingles.com and MatchMatrix.com is putting on the most incredible cruise full of fun and romance. No matter your age, size, ethnicity, or whether you're single or in a long-term relationship, join us to spark up your love life. Our four-night cruise starts on Thursday, October 27th. We set sail from Miami to Key West to Cozumel. Join our relationship experts, tantra experts, love angel communicator, energy healer, and our very own laughing yoga, who will be assisting you in making this the best adventure of your life into love. Rates start off at $5.99, which includes all of the workshops. There are balcony cabins still available, but you must sign up immediately. Rates will go up dramatically after March 28th. Don't wait. Sign up with your $150 refundable deposit and book your cabin now. Oh, and by the way, don't forget to bring your costume for a wonderful evening of fun. Go to loaradionetwork.com and don't forget to tell us who referred you. We'll see you on board.
Well, thank you so much for listening to those commercials about my coaching. Of course, you know, you can go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and I have designed great tools for you, coaching packages, et cetera. As I always say, I have 25 years. I know I sound young, but I'm ageless. I have 25 years of psychotherapy coaching, and I'm a spiritual success coach. Would love to partner with you to begin to create the life of your dreams. And what about that cruise? How many of you love cruising? I know I do, and this is your opportunity to do something special for yourself to Cozumel, Mexico. You know, it's such a beautiful place. I remember I was in Cozumel about 5 years ago at Christmas time, and I was lying on the beach, and I felt like that I was in paradise, and indeed I was. So I want you to act now, and for anyone who signs up for the cruise, I'm going to give you as my gift a discount of $50. And so if you want to email me more information about that, you can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com, or you can just go to LOARadionetwork.com and click on the link that says cruise. I will be there. I'm going to be teaching on relationships. I would have an opportunity to sign my CDs, and you get a chance to meet me in person. I'll sign my book for you. So I'll see you on the cruise. Well, are you ready? I am so excited about today's guest. I know I say that every Sunday, but I really am. My special guest today is Dr. Sue Morta, and she is an internationally recognized authority on bridging science, spirit, and human possibility. She is a leading authority and master of the bioenergetic synchronization technique, a neuroemotional process that really addresses the mind, body, and spirit. And I just love that, because you guys know that I'm so much about those three aspects. She founded Morta Health Institute in 1987 for the purpose of bringing those three concepts together. She's really a powerful woman. I've been listening to her all week, and she's going to really change your life today. She's in private practice, and in addition to that, she is a founder and visionary of the Morta Institute, which is an organization committed to teaching individuals self-healing techniques and a new approach to life based on quantum science. She's phenomenal. She's been on all kinds of movies. She's been featured in the movie The Opus and The Gift and many, many others. And the more importantly, I'm very careful about who I bring onto my show. She just has a wonderful spirit of serving and is very powerful. And guess what? Your life would never be the same after listening to Dr. Sue. So Dr. Sue Morta, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
It's a great pleasure to be here. It's a joy. Anytime I get to have this conversation, it brightens my day, and I get to have it every day. So, you know, my life ends up being pretty fantastic, and so it is a great joy to share those vibrations with everyone today.
Well, good. Let's get started. And, you know, when I say let's get started with you, Dr. Sue, I've been listening to you all week, so I know what that can mean. So what I did was I sent out probably about 300 emails to my listeners, and I had them to listen to you this week, and I had them to send me back questions. And we're going to talk about miracles later on, but I want to begin to ask you the question that they sent back to me after listening to your life-changing information. But before we get to those questions, tell our listeners all over the world tonight just a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, I grew up with the concepts of quantum science being discussed around my dinner table. It was pretty much everything that we described, how we went through life, what we were looking for, how we were trying to interpret the circumstances that were happening. Even as kids, the conversation that my parents were having was all centered on the idea that there was a purpose for everything, and that actually we have a tremendous role in creating our own life experience and creating our reality. And it was applied to healthcare and healing when I was growing up. And so, of course, the natural thing for me to do was to become a healer. And so I went to a natural healing school through chiropractic, learned the natural ways that the body is equipped to heal itself. And in the process of working for 25 years with people in a treatment room, one by one by one, I came to realize that there are certain things that happen when an individual heals and things that do not happen when an individual does not. And I began to put pieces together, and that coupled with the concepts that I knew scientifically were we're applying here as the nervous system functions and as the quantum mechanics and quantum science within the body, the being the bridge of how thoughts affect our capacity to function in the world, and our belief systems ultimately determine the types of thoughts that we will be inclined to think in a given day. All of this combined ultimately determines the quality of our life experience. And so I began speaking and teaching and gathering large groups of people in the general public and having this conversation with them so that they could be on the front side of healing rather than having to wait for people to come to a healing center because there was something wrong with them, and then have to turn around their way of being and turn around their belief system and get them in a more empowered state. You know, my effort was, let's just reach out and head that off at the pass, basically, and allow people to even if they have a great life, to have an even deeper meaning in their life or an even better life or a more graceful unfoldment in their life experience. And so I travel around the world now speaking and teaching and training people, providing, most importantly, the environment in which people can begin to recognize their true power rather than thinking that they have to always be in the student role, but to kind of co-create a collaborative partnership with life and to begin to recognize that there is tremendous empowerment in each individual. And as we begin to embrace that, we start to see healing happen, and we start to see careers unfolding very successfully, and we start to see deep and meaningful relationships unfold or become attracted into your life because of how you have changed, because the vibrational frequency that you are walking around as has shifted. And when it does create that shift, when that shift occurs, we begin to live and experience and find a different life knocking at our door. And it is not by coincidence, it is not by luck, and it is not that rarefied miracle that we refer to. It is because you have become intentional about recognizing your true power. So I spend my days traveling around the world sharing this concept, not only philosophically and theoretically, but teaching people how to engage in ways of moving the energy through their system with techniques and technology and how-tos and why-tos so that they can actually change the vibrational frequency of who they are. Because all change, all healing, all increase of activity or abundance or deep healing happens in our lives because we have changed the vibrational frequency of who we are. Self-acceptance, self-love play a tremendous role here, but thinking about loving ourselves is a very different thing than actually falling into and loving oneself. And so I teach the distinctions there, all of it based upon, Constance, the idea that everything in the universe, everything in all of creation is energy, and energy is just vibrating at different frequencies. And there are certain frequencies associated with certain beliefs, certain thoughts have certain energetic frequencies to them. And if they are beliefs that I am inadequate or that I am not good enough or that I shouldn't be doing this or that shouldn't have happened or those people shouldn't have been the way that they were with me, these kinds of beliefs carry a vibrational frequency that is counterproductive, counterintuitive. It is counteractive to the same vibrational frequencies where joy and deep peace and elation and collaboration and abundance and victory exist. So it is all about changing the vibration within our tonal system, and that happens by changing how we think, changing, most importantly, how we feel about ourselves. And so I share my personal journey. I have been through all of the things that I teach. It is not a theory that I read in a book and got excited about trying to figure out how to apply that in life. It has been my personal experience on top of my education that it compels me to be engaged in sharing this information because of the transformation that it has created in my life and now, of course, in the thousands of lives that I've been able to be connected with over the recent years. So that's a little bit.
Okay, well, you just answered my first two questions. The listeners wanted to know about quantum science and about vibrational frequencies and energy. So what you're saying is once we change our frequency, we can really shape or determine our life's path.
Yes, it's kind of like thinking about radio stations. You know, you want to hear classical music, you dial to a certain radio station. If you want to hear country and western, you dial to a different radio station. If you want to hear or experience or exchange joy and abundance and peace of mind and in a safely expressing personal passion, there are certain radio stations to dial yourself into. And if you're more needing to learn from pain or from frustration or from anger, which are very, very good learning tools, don't get me wrong. However, they're not usually the most optimal that people choose consciously to reside in. However, if we are finding ourselves continuously frustrated or continuously angry or continuously hurt or feeling abandoned or left out, there is great learning happening there on a soulful level, on a deep energetic level. And please understand that I am interchanging those words, that the energetics of our beingness are the invisible part of us, and that is the vital force. It is source. It is soulful energy. It is all in the same family. So I am bridging science and spirit in the very languaging of saying that energy is soulful spirit, and spirit is energetics in the physical body. And we can begin to manage more effectively our physical lives if we become masterful at our non-physical selves, our energetic selves. And that is best described by energy that is vibrating at different frequencies that we can discern as different, similar to different radio stations. And so whatever radio station I tend to be attracted to frequently is the radio station that I am doing my learning at this time. But if we're finding that we're regularly dialing into this frequency of hurt or anger or frustration or abandonment, then chances are we're also dialing into the frequencies that will ultimately lend themselves to breakdown in our physical lives, either a breakdown in relationships, a breakdown in communication, a breakdown in our physical well-being, a breakdown in our emotional status, which is be referred to as depressed types of feelings. All of this has to do with where we are resonating. And all of it serves. Some of it's more pleasant than others. And when we begin to wrap our minds around the big picture of the bigger conversation that I'm encouraging people to engage in, we begin to see that the soul is interested in the full keyboard of experiences. It isn't just interested in the upper half of the keyboard where all the tones are light and lovely and beautiful and pretty. Soul is really interested in having the full human experience, and it doesn't really take it so personally. Our personality takes it personally and decides, well, I don't really like those over there. I only like these over here. And the problem is that ends up leaving us feeling like half of a person because we're afraid of that other half of those experiences. And so we tend to steer away from them. But we also miss the message, and we miss the enlightenment, and we miss the engagement with ourselves, the authenticity, if we don't allow ourselves to feel whatever feelings we're feeling and then obviously intend for them to ultimately be uplifted and expansive and joyful and elation-oriented, blissful even. But if sometimes we shoot straight to that and we skip over some of the work that needed to be done, which was part of the reason that we came in the first place. So there is so much to the conversation about energetics, so much to the conversation about how do we begin to wrap our mind around this. So first we'll just say it's like radio stations, and the important thing is to recognize where you tend to be dialing into regularly, and if you're not really digging that, if there's some radio station you'd rather be dialing into, then our conversation can be about how to get there from where you are.
That's awesome information, and I just love it when you say that, you know, all things that happen to us are really for our good, and I want my listeners to really begin to really ponder that and really shift the way that they think about, you know, the things that have happened to them in their lives. And another great question that one of my listeners wanted to ask you is meditation. I know you talk a lot about that. What is meditation, and what happens to our mind, body, and our lives when we live a life of meditation?
Mm-hmm. Well, I will tell you that there is, it, in and of itself, for how much it costs us to meditate, which is free, right? And for the availability of meditation, which is anytime, and for the equipment that is required, which is nothing, factor for factor, I would say, is exponentially more valuable than any other single thing we can engage in. If we are looking to find our authentic path, if we're looking to find our intended life, if we're looking for peace of mind or clarity or a sense of certainty in life that has not been available to us seemingly up to this point, and these are the types of things that are available to us through meditation. What happens in meditation is that we are awake, we are lucid, we're not sleeping, but we are still. Some people would call that relaxed. They like to meditate in order to relax, but meditation is valuable in so many more ways than just relaxation. Meditation is valuable in that it allows us to be lucid and awake and still in the mind, meaning we're not running our to-do list through our mind or running that conversation from 5 years ago back through our mind again, like how we, what we'd like to say to that person or what we should have said in that situation just yesterday, those kinds of things. The mind is, has been trained or refined to just stop, to just be still, to just be present. And we can learn how to do that by following our breathing. Just do real slow, deep abdominal breathing and have the mind's job be 100% to just simply pay attention to the breathing and not be thinking or running off at the mouth, you know, in all of the ways that it does so often. And to find deep in there, without the activity of the mind will settle upon a sense of stillness that is just right here, right now. And when thoughts creep in, it simply says, not now, you know, I'll think about you in a minute or two or ten or tomorrow or in an hour, but not now. Right now, I'm just going to be. I'm just going to sit right here and be with this candle flame or be with this flower or just be with myself. And what happens in those moments is the mind begins to recognize that it is not in charge, that someone is telling it what it can do and what it can't do. And this is just like a little puppy or like a little child that is trying to get the rules down. And the mind will run like crazy. You know, the puppy will chew up everything in your house. The little infant toddler will run about, you know, tearing up everything, not meaning to do damage, but just being wild and free. And the mind runs like this until we begin to say, no, just a second, you have to operate under certain orders. You have to operate under certain laws of collaboration in order to work here in this dimension and have it work out for you the way that you will ultimately like for it to. And so, mind, it's good for you to realize that you're not the one in charge, that you're actually the co-pilot here, and I'm in charge. So whoever it is that's saying I'm in charge, I'm watching my mind run like crazy, that's the part of you that I'm speaking to now. That's the part of you that is ultimately your gateway to freedom and stillness and peace and wholeness. It is that observer person, the observer, the beingness in us that is observing what's happening. Not the one that's caught up in the activity, but the one that says, oh, wait a minute. I'm not interested in this. You know, I've done this many times before, and I'm not about to get back on this train. So when we meditate, we harness the mind. We begin to master the mind, and we begin to allow it to recognize that there is another job that it could be doing that would be more effective than the one that it does when it just runs out of control and does what it does. And that is actually to serve the heart. To serve the heart is actually the highest use of the mind, to feel and to sense what we are really about, what really matters, what has heart and meaning to us. Another high use of the mind is to contemplate infinite possibility and dream our dreams and have our visions and think big thoughts. But how we get to those is not by reaching out there, it's by reaching in here, into the core. Not only to the heart space, but to our wisdom center, which is low in our belly, and to our power center, which is activated and cultivated automatically when we over and over again begin to choose for the heart and choose for the personal passion and choose for the personal preferences and trust and value that what I feel and what I want and what I choose is enough. And it is just as brilliant as the person next to me that has three more degrees than I do, or just as valuable as the person to the left of me who's been around and doing this a lot longer than me, or just as valuable as the person to the right of me that sounds like they know it all. And we get distracted so often into all of those scenarios, and we pull away from trusting ourselves. And so meditation begins to build the relationship with the self that keeps us on course, that keeps us aligned, that keeps us integrated, and keeps us in a strengthened state such that when these distractions show up on our radar screen, they do not have the power to pull us off of the center. They do not have the power to distract us from what we really want, even though that looks really flashy, or that looks really inviting, or that looks really popular over there, or that's got a lot of stir and activity happening in that scenario. But if it isn't what I truly authentically feel, it is not my path, and it will prolong my journey to deep happiness. So meditation is the way to return to a reality that is beyond what the mind has been interpreting up to this point. The mind up until this point has been saying there are good things and there are bad things. There are safe things and there are dangerous things. There are good things that I like to do and things that I want to avoid at all costs. There are people that I love and people that I cannot trust, and in a dualistic reality. And when I say to people that there is only one thing actually happening here, there is only one thing actually happening here, and it is good, and that everything that is happening is serving your unfoldment. It is serving my unfoldment into my empowered reality, meaning that if something happens that I so wish were not happening, or someone is behaving in a way that I so wish they were not doing, or someone has said something or some circumstance has occurred that I would love to have it be different, rather than turning my mind toward changing those people, or changing what they say, or changing what they believe, or changing the circumstances, my first opportunity here is to realize that I am empowered enough to say that even in the face of these circumstances, I have the power to experience anything that I choose. I can choose to love even in the face of this. I can choose to forgive even in the face of this nearly unforgivable circumstance. And when I do, I meet up with myself in a way that I have not known before that moment. I meet up with the part of me that is strong and clear and grounded and anchored and certain and sure and capable. And I will cultivate a relationship under those circumstances like no other set of circumstances will allow. And what happens is I come to know who I am, and I emanate and radiate peace and joy and love and givingness in circumstances that most cannot. And it is because I have established this relationship through the breath work, the meditation, and the contemplation that everything that is happening in my life is happening to reveal to me that I can dig even deeper and bring out even more amazing capacity than I thought I had just a moment ago. And when we begin to embrace life in this way, we begin to live an entirely different life experience. And miracles happen, lives change, people heal, relationships heal, jobs become more tolerable, or we become more capable of leaving that job and actually moving into the thing that we dearly love to do and dream about doing, and so on and so forth.
Life-changing information, Dr. Sue. And I'm going to combine these two questions. One is about money. It's about the law of attraction. How can I begin to attract money and my soulmate into my life? And then they said, people say money ain't everything, but it's right up there with oxygen because you sure need it to live. And so, and that's true. And so for my listeners, the number two questions I get, number one is, how can I attract my soulmate? And the second question is, how can I bring more abundance and wealth into my life? And so what can you share with our listeners all over the world about how can they can bring more abundance, wealth, and love into their lives?
Certainly. I'll tell you that in my experience in working with tens and tens of thousands of people now in the past 25 years, 30 years, 28 years, I think, where I've consciously been doing that, although I remember working with people when I was in elementary school.
I can remember
sitting on the school bus and the kids on the bench in front of me were turning around, and the kids on the bench beside me across the aisle were leaning over, and the kids in the bench behind me were leaning forward, and they were all asking me these kinds of questions. I mean, at a fifth grade level, but it was really the same conversation. So this is something that I've been interested in. I know that it's what I came in to this existence to share and to bridge the worlds of this mystery with certainty. And in my own life experience, through my own trials and tribulations of personal embodiment of these concepts and the integration process of my own, I've certainly learned other forms of the same conversation by, I guess, the language becoming more sophisticated. But the same message is always true, and that is that when we're looking for soulmate, the problem is we're looking. And when we are becoming that very being that we would love to have in our lives, pretty soon what happens is the charge around it becomes lessened because we have decreased the gradient, the vibrational distinctions, the differences between me and who that savior would be that came into my life, that soulmate that would come and just make everything okay and everything wonderful and great. And as we focus on becoming that individual rather than seeking the individual, looking for the individual, if we develop ourselves in the very way into becoming the very person that we are looking for, what happens is we now don't need them as much. The charge is reduced. The electrostatic state changes to an electromagnetic state, and we are emanating and radiating and resonating as that. And in those realms, the resonance attracts that into our lives, and it probably will look a lot different than we thought it would, but it will feel exactly the way we wanted it to. So one of the main things that I encourage people to do is to get to know how they would feel if their soulmate did show up. And I don't mean just, oh, I feel so happy and elated and just blissful and in love. I mean feel. Those are emotional states, and I'm referring to the visceral, tonal, resonant feeling in the physical body, because that is actually what the physical body is designed to do for us. It is a feedback mechanism. It is the monitor on the computer screen. It is the screen for us on the computer to tell us what is going on the inside. We feel it. We will feel it before we see it. You'll feel your soulmate before you see them. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to feel them walk into the room. It means you're going to know what it feels like to have your soulmate in the room with you long before they walk in the room with you. We must become that same vibrational state. So we have to imagine how we would feel if they were here. We have to imagine who we would become if we were so relaxed and relieved that they were here, how we might start acting. Maybe we wouldn't be operating so desperately. Maybe we would be in joy instead of desperation. Perhaps we would be in celebration and in love rather than in depression and in loneliness. And so we are responsible for creating that vibrational reality right here in our own personal space called our body and our personal life space called our home and our immediate environment. We have to bring that vibration forward, because the person that you're so interested in would never be attracted to the contracted version of you that's been walking around so far, missing and lonely and lacking and not having and depressed, right?
Right.
So they're going to run the other way. and if they're what you want, you would want them to run the other way. You wouldn't want them to be in that space of such contracted energies. And so that's, you know, I lovingly and jestfully say, you got to be that. You must become that vibration. And then the charge that is created by the two differences in the worlds, those distinctions, that charge is reduced and removed, and what rises up from inside of you, amazingly, is a sense of joy, because you've been spending your minutes in that vibration, you start to actually enjoy your day. And so you desire it less, you want it less, you plead for it less, and then you are actually living a life of joy and abundance and the same feeling that you would have of sharing, and that is when your soulmate will show up. And prior to that moment, it's a vibrational impossibility for them to be in your life. So we first must identify, you know, all the attributes they would have and then become those attributes. Then we have to identify what we would feel like if they did show up and become those feelings, become those vibrations, emanate them, practice them every day. Even if it's only for 10 conscious minutes every day, you're going to make a difference in your life. But if it can be all but 10 minutes in your day, you're going to make a difference in your life a lot faster. So it's
right.
A matter of devotion and commitment in that way. The same thing is true, Constance, when it comes to money. The same thing is true. When money is a byproduct of how we are living our lives, not just the actions that we're taking, but how we're feeling inside, how we're feeling about ourselves, how we're perceiving our self-worth, the money, amount of money in your personal space is directly proportional to your feeling of self-worth. And so if you are not feeling very worthy, you may not even know that you're not feeling very worthy. You may have grown up inside of a body, of a person, of a belief system, of a self-esteem that wasn't very self-worthy. It is worthy, but it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't perceive itself that way. And if that is the case, then the money will be reflected accordingly. Money is a reflection of self-esteem. It is a reflection of who I believe I am in the world. Now, you may have grown up in a difficult situation, maybe an overbearing parent or maybe a broken home or a variety of abuse situations that occur that automatically, for some reason, for many reasons, leave us feeling like there's something wrong or there's something not whole and complete about me. And we may even rise up above those in our early adulthood or mid-adult life, or maybe even later in life. And we may rise through that and say, you know, by gosh, I am worth more than that, than I've been allowing for myself, and I'm going to take a stand here. And taking that stand is a great clarifier for staking your claim, but it isn't until we drop the anger and move in joy and self-love and forgiveness and move on with who we would have been becoming all along if those things had not occurred in our lives, who we would have been busy unfolding into, and if we allow ourselves to go ahead and move on into those steps and allow ourselves to go ahead and contemplate who I would choose to be, if all that was done, if it was all over with, if it was all behind me and actually dissipated and I actually had gleaned from it tremendous value of learning about who I am and who I'm not and what I choose to be like and what I choose to not be like and cultivating my compassion, because when I see someone else who's going through something like what I went through in those years, I can understand them, I can help them, I can relate and I can be compassionate. And so it has all served me in some way if I'm willing to let it. If I'm willing to let it mean something like that to me, which means I'm getting ready to go ahead and step forward into the rest of who I am, rather than having to recycle and recycle and recycle in this hurt, abandoned, abused, left behind, unloved kind of orientation, which is a belief system. It's just a disposition that ultimately we must embrace and step on through, love it, forgive it, feel it, and step on through into our creative capacity. Okay, who would I have been, or who can I now become now that I've laid that down? And then we start using our creativity. And when we do that, we start attracting money, because money is a flow of creative energy. Money is a flow of creative energy, and it will flow through our personal space abundantly if we are authentically in our creative juice, if we are in our self-love and in our self-esteem, and not either or, not saying, okay, I'm, you know, forget all you people who've been so mean to me. I'm just going to come over here by myself and love myself. That may be necessary for a short period of time, but it won't get us to the money path. It won't get us to the abundance path. It won't get us to the path of fluidity and being able to pay our bills without concern and be able to have sufficiency and have enough to even share until we get that self-love underway enough that we can then turn back to the people and the places and the things in our lives with an open heart and a feeling of certainty that it's time to engage, and I can do that because I am okay. That's how
Well, you know, that is so powerful, and I am a living demonstration of what you just talked about. My father, being an African-American female, I had never seen anybody wealthy. All I had seen was poverty, but my father had a wealth consciousness, and I guess as a child, that was put in me very deeply. And so over the years, just like you said, I had to deal with my self-concept, self-esteem, worthiness, all of the above, and about loving myself and loving others at a deep core level. And just like you said, money is just flowing into my life, and I just appreciate you sharing that.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com.
Hello, this is Constance Arnold, author and certified dream coach. Join me beginning January 26th for 4 weeks as I share with you how to make your dreams come true in 2011. You know, during my career, I have helped over 10,000 clients begin to live the life of their dreams. I will teach you how to develop strategies and projects that will move you towards your dream, utilizing a simple, easy, effective process for rapid change. You will learn how to identify and eliminate those limiting beliefs that have been holding you back from the life that you deserve. This is your opportunity to jump into the driver's seat and take control of your life. So register today at the University of Attraction and begin the first steps toward making your dreams come true.
Well, if you're just joining me, I'm talking with Dr. Sue Mortar, and we're getting ready to talk about miracles, how to manifest miracles. How many of you need a miracle? And Dr. Sue, I know that you guys have an upcoming conference that you're going to be teaching about miracles. And so the listeners want to know, what is a miracle? How much is God involved in the miracle? How can we manifest a miracle? Do we have to wait for God to manifest a miracle? Or how can we have supernaturally have those everyday miracles occurring in our lives?
Yes, it's a topic that I love. One of the things that we do is we will hold the miracle as something outside of ourselves, just like we hold God as outside of ourselves, just like we hold opportunity as outside of ourselves, and just like we hold possibility oftentimes outside of ourselves. That would be as smart and as realistic, actually, as holding nature outside of ourselves. And we do that too. It would be the same as holding ourselves outside of ourselves, is the point that I'm getting to here, that God is everywhere, nature is everywhere, possibility is everywhere, and the miracle is also everywhere. The only question that exists, and this exists, interestingly, only for human beings. Human beings are the only ones that contemplate this, because we are the only ones that create that separation in the first place. Now, if someone's listening to this right now, and you can look out a window and you can see a tree, or you can see a bush, or you can see a flower, or you can see a blade of grass, or the next time that you can, please look at them and just marvel at the fact that that tree is not questioning itself whatsoever. It is not wondering if it's a good enough tree. It's not wondering if it should have been a pine tree instead of a maple tree. It's not judging itself as to whether or not its leaves should be out already because the tree to the left and the tree to the right is already blooming or is already sprouting or budding the leaves. It doesn't do that. It just bees tree. It just bees a tree. That's all. It's just being what it's being. And yet human beings have a really hard time just being themselves, just being that, without self-evaluation, without separation, without moving something outside of myself and holding it as separate. And so because of that, we have a tendency to have an identity that is scripted, that is determined, that has some boundary to it. And in the face of that, we infinitely hold the possibilities outside of ourselves. And we hold the miracle as something rare, and we hold God as something out there. And until, I mean, we know that the Western culture, all religions in the Western culture ultimately say you have to accept God into your heart. There is something about that. And it's
crossing a boundary that you've already established, where you are separate from God and you have to invite God into your heart. And there's a reason that they use the heart. There's a reason that every study, East and West, references the value of the heart. And that is because the resonance of the heart vibration is the same as nature, and it is the same as God. It is the same as universal intelligence. It is the same as infinite possibility. When we are in the state of lovingness, we are in the state of miracles. When we are in the state of lovingness, we are in the state of God's source energy. When we are in the state of lovingness, we are in our creative essence. We are in that same capacity as the tree. We're not thinking. Thinking is what separates us. Loving is what joins us. Thinking is what separates us. Loving is what reunites us. And so when we are wanting miracles or even wondering about miracles, if we can contemplate the miracle from the heart space, what begins to happen is we unify ourselves with greater and greater possibilities. The more I can love into any situation, the more I am opening the gateway through which the energies of highest frequency vibration, the radio station that is the most divine, if you will those radio frequencies, those energetic frequencies, can move into our personal space through the gateway of love when we open the door. Love opens the door, literally, vibrationally. It's like an omnipresent vibration. It's that bandwidth that they would come on and say, this is a test, and every radio station will be hearing this test. And if this were an emergency, you'd be instructed on what to do. Well, if this were a miracle, you'd be instructed what to do. Same broadcast can cover every bandwidth, every radio station. Love, that is how you dial into it. So waiting for God to do anything, first of all, is one of our greatest mistakes. The tree doesn't wait for the sign. It responds to what is. It is present with what is. And when what is offering up the opportunity for springtime, the tree does what it does in the springtime without thought. It just does it. When our lives offer us the possibility, the opportunity for us to advance ourselves, to take a promotion or to work toward a promotion in a workplace, or to love into a relationship where we used to protect ourselves, or to love into ourselves where we used to seal it off and therefore we became sick, or to accept some opportunity and recognize an opportunity that we didn't even see before, it is love and self-love that allows us to do that. And so when we are waiting, when we're in a position of waiting, we're in a position of lack and in inactivity. We're not engaged, we're waiting. What are you doing? I'm sitting here, I'm waiting. Well, what are you doing? I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for God to deliver a miracle. It doesn't make a lot of sense in its happening. Whereas if we are actively in movement, think of it this way. Manifesting happens through movement. Now, it doesn't mean we just go out and do. It means that we are moving the energy through our lives. And if we're moving the energy through the core of our lives, the core of our body, the core of our being, that miracle can manifest all the way to my personal life. Because miracles are manifesting all the time. What is it that determines where they're going to manifest? It is our free will. Contrary to what our culture has by default had us believing, miracles are manifesting constantly. And what determines where they will manifest is my choice. It isn't just a conscious choice, it is also a subconscious choice. And I can enhance my ability to choose yes for the miracle if I am vibrating in my core in a way that allows yes and miracle to both resonate here inside of me. Because when I am a honing device as a yes, miracle vibration can come all the way to my personal experience. If I'm not vibrating as a yes, if I'm vibrating as a lack, or I'm vibrating as an inadequate, or I'm vibrating as a no, or I'm vibrating as an anger, whatever the vibration is that is not the same radio station as miracle, that is why we're waiting for the miracle, and that is why it's not happening. So manifesting anything happens because we have deeply accepted a stronger, more holistic, more complete sense of self-love and self-worth
than we were able to just a moment ago. And whatever practices we can employ to do that, deep abdominal breath work, loving presence, sitting with myself and just loving into whatever my mind is thinking it needs to be thinking about in this moment, and loving my life and moving in gratitude, meditating, removing subconscious interferences, which are the techniques and technologies that I teach people how to do so that we can get at these subconscious reasons that we find it so difficult to love ourselves as simply as that tree out the window would be doing. And these are the ways that we manifest miracles. The fact is, you are a miracle. You have miracle vibration in you. Are you allowing it to come to the surface of your life experience or not? Are you allowing it to attract other like kinds of energies, or are you not? And the question is, the answer typically is, no, there are ways I could enhance that. And so that's why we engage in this conversation.
And so I know you're having a great conference coming up, and I am trying to rearrange my schedule to get to hear you, because once I listened to you all week, I said, this woman is a genius. She's a gift to the world. She's a gift from God to bring healing and enlightenment into our lives. Share quickly about the conference. How can people contact you about the conference? What are the dates, et cetera?
Absolutely. There is a two-day conference that we're doing in Fort Lauderdale, April 1st and 2nd, and it is focused on techniques and technologies to do the very thing that we're talking about. It is focused on group interactions. I'm going to put people through practices and allow them to see how they really respond in life versus how they think they respond in life. And once they see how they really respond in life, then we will be able to engage in a reality check, and we'll be able to offer a particular practice for any given individual that is there that will be best for them to start employing to enhance their ability to resonate as the miraculous and to live their lives in a way that furthers this ability to attract the soulmate, or to attract greater abundance of financial flow or abundance in their lives, to attract greater health and vitality. And we will be in and out of a series of experiential exercises, as well as some very deep teaching and some meditative practices and vibrational healings that will happen on site, all in this time of coming together called Manifesting Miracles. And
that's going to be here. What are the dates, and what is your email address or website information where they can contact you? And I'm really going to encourage all of my U.S. listeners, if you can really, I'm going to encourage you to really make a decision to really go and attend this conference, because Dr. Sue is just very powerful. You've already experienced her throughout this interview. And so how can they contact you, Dr. Sue?
Sure. There are a couple of ways. You can go to drsuemorter.com. That's www.drsuemorter.com. Go to seminars. You'll find it. And there's a page right there that will completely tell you everything you need to know, and click on that and register. And you can also go to themastersgathering.com and find it as well. So that's Dr. Sue Morter, drsuemorter.com. And go to seminars, and it'll take you right to Manifesting Miracles. Or you can go to themastersgathering.com and do the same, and you'll be able to find all the information there.
You know, we didn't have enough time today, Dr. Sue. You are so powerful. I just want to let you know how much you've radically changed my life this week. As I was researching, because I research and study intensely prior to all of my interviews, and you've just given me such insight and knowledge. I would love to have you come back and just share again, and you probably would see me in Fort Lauderdale when you're conducting your Miracles Conference. And I'm so glad that Harrison contacted me to interview you. And for all of my listeners, I want you to listen to this podcast again and again and let it drop into your spirit so that the spirit can speak to you. This is probably probably one of the missing pieces of your puzzle that will begin to teach you how to really begin to manifest and begin living the life of your dreams. And Dr. Sue, I just want to thank you personally for being on my show tonight.
It's my great, great joy. Anytime, and I'd be happy to come back and play.
And I'm going to invite you back. Well, everyone, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. Thank you so much for joining me. You can visit my website, as I said earlier, at fulfillingyourpurpose.com. You can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.